This is PhotoBizX episode number 329, and today we're talking about Microsoft Ads, previously known as Bing Ads, and why you should be utilizing this form of advertising if you're having any success with Google AdWords. Our special guest is Ivan Mana, and that interview is coming up in just a minute.
Are you planning to have a successful wedding and portrait photography business? Join Andrew as he interviews successful photographers and business experts to fast-track your success. Welcome to the PhotoBiz Exposed podcast with your host, Andrew Helmich.
Hey, it's Andrew Helmich here from Impact Images, and welcome to this episode of the podcast. If the name Ivan Mana rings a bell, particularly if you've been listening to the podcast for any length of time, it's because Ivan featured in episode 306 of the podcast, where he took us through in step-by-step detail on how to set up your very first Google AdWords campaign. Today's episode is a different form of that pay-per-click advertising, utilizing Bing or Microsoft Ads. It's a short and straight to the point episode, and we're going to jump into that in just a second. Before we get started, I usually do share a little bit about me and my week, which has been mainly consumed by third-party marketing, putting together content for that course for members for you, which will be available to everyone soon. In addition to that, I had to make a dental appointment with a dental surgeon, a specialist, to go and have something checked out in my mouth, obviously. And the reason I bring that up is because it is relevant to us and our photography businesses and the way we do things. Because what happened is I rang to make this appointment after getting a referral from my dentist, my regular dentist, and I knew that I had to go in to have a biopsy done on a little piece of my gum. So I rang to make the appointment, but I was told I couldn't book in to have the biopsy done. I had to book in for a consultation first, which was going to cost $100, which is fine. And then I had to make an appointment for the biopsy after that initial consultation. Now, I was a little bit annoyed at the fact that I had to pay twice. Like, I won't hide that fact. So it was $100 for the initial appointment, the consultation, and then $250 to have this biopsy done, which is happening this afternoon, because I went in and had my consult because I couldn't talk my way out of it. What I was unhappy about was, in addition to having to pay twice, all that aside, I said to the receptionist, look, I don't mind paying twice, but instead of me coming back twice for two separate appointments, taking two separate chunks of my day off to come out here for these appointments, can I just combine the two? No, that's not how we do things, I was told at the surgery by the receptionist. I explained that I was unhappy in as nice a way as I could. And I thought there was some chance that I could sway her, change her mind, allow me to book in and have that double appointment all in one hit. After all, they weren't going to be losing anything in regards to income. I was happy to pay twice. She said, no, that's not the way we do things here. And the option that she gave me was, would you like to keep this appointment or would you like to go elsewhere? And it was as simple as that. You could say I had no choice, but I did have another choice. I could have cancelled, gone back to my dentist, asked for a referral to another oral surgeon, which who knows if there is one near where I live. So I said, no, keep the appointment as it is. What has this got to do with you and your photography business? Everything. Because I hear and see from other photographers, when they want to implement something they hear on the podcast from an interview guest, when they want to try something, when they want to do something different to what they've been doing in the past, they are so worried about what their clients might think. They start second guessing how the client will react, what the client will say, whether they will like it or not. But the thing is, this is and these are our businesses. We get to make the rules. That's why we're in business for ourselves. So if you want to do a pre-consultation in person, that's the way you want to run your business, even though no other photographer in your local area is doing the same thing, that is totally fine. You can implement that and say that is just the way you do things. And yes, it will be a little bit scary when you go to introduce something new, particularly if it's out of the norm or what you think is out of the norm. But if you can see that this may have a positive influence on the way your business works, whether that's going to get you better clients, it's going to help you better qualify your leads, if it's going to see you have a better experience at the shoots or have your clients experience a much better time at the shoots or see you ultimately with better sales, then I say go for it. Implement your ideas and explain to your clients when they ask, well, or when they suggest that that's not the way I did it with my last photographer, you can say that's fine. This is the way we do it at my studio. This is how we get the most success. You could have a reason or reasons why you do it that way, which I didn't get from my oral surgeon, which I was a little bit unhappy about. I think we can do it more tactfully than the way the oral surgeon receptionist handled me. But the point is, really, it's our photography business. We can run it the way we want to do it. That's the whole point of being in business for ourselves. So we can implement, try things, adapt our businesses to suit us, to suit our lifestyle, and to give the best possible experience for our clients. And just a quick side note, when I did go in for my initial consultation, which was last Friday, I did apologize to the receptionist if I was at all rude. I was sure there was going to be a black mark against my name. Funnily enough, she didn't even remember the conversation and she said, no, it was totally fine. She didn't care at all. Didn't have any effect whatsoever. And there I was for my first appointment and now going in for my second this afternoon because that's the way they do things.
And now, a macro look at the last episode.
In last week's episode, I interviewed Bethel Nathan, the wedding celebrant slash business coach, and we talked all about ghosting or being ghosted and how to avoid that. If you've got no idea what I'm talking about, ghosting is when a potential client gets in touch with you. It sounds like they are your perfect client. You can't wait to work with them. You're excited. They sound excited. You reply to their message or their voicemail or their SMS and you hear nothing. They've gone, they've disappeared, you've been ghosted. If that's ever happened to you and you want to know how to avoid it, get back and have a listen to that episode with Bethel Nathan from last week.
Photo Biz Exposed. Interviews with photographers to help you build a better photography business.
Alrighty, we're going to jump into this interview with Ivan Mana, talk all about Microsoft or Bing ads. If you are hearing this announcement, though, it does mean you are listening to the free version of the podcast. And that means you're going to hear the first half of the interview with Ivan today. But I do save the second half of the interview where we dive a little bit deeper into some of the concepts that he shares in the first half. I save that for premium members only. That happens every single week. In addition to having member-only episodes, access to the members' Facebook group, help getting into their very own mastermind groups, there is so much more that goes into the premium membership than purely the extra content from each interview guest. So if you'd like to hear the full interview today with Ivan, or you want to get access to all the other things that go along with the premium membership, you can try it all out for as little as $1. If that sounds interesting to you, head over to photobizx.com/try. Sign up there for $1. See if the premium membership is a good fit for you. If you love what you're hearing, if you love what you're getting, if you're seeing real improvements in your photography business as a result of your membership, which is the whole reason for it, then stick around with all the other premium members. And let's work together to help grow your business even faster than you would without that membership. photobizx.com/try if you want to check out that $1 trial membership.
Welcome to another Great Eye for Business. It's time for Andrew's special guest.
Ivan Mana of Online Marketing Essentials was interviewed for episode 306 of the podcast, where he dived deep into a step-by-step tutorial on how to set up your first Google AdWords campaign. And I originally discovered Ivan on YouTube when doing some research for Facebook ads, and I loved his energy, his knowledge, and the way he broke down complicated strategies in easy-to-understand step-by-step instructions. He also explained why he was suggesting to do the things he was teaching, which I loved. As we were wrapping up our last interview, Ivan asks how photographers are doing with advertising on Bing. And my reply was, I don't know anyone using Bing at all. And he went on to tell me that Bing is really underappreciated. It's a resource that can also be super profitable and functions 99% like Google. And that's why I asked to have him back on the podcast, and I'm happy to have him with us now. Ivan, welcome back.
Hey, Andrew. Thank you so much for having me.
Mate, it's a pleasure.
Really awesome to be back.
Cool. Mate, Bing ads. I mean, is anyone even using Bing?
Yeah. So they actually renamed their brand to Microsoft Ads now as part of their whole restructuring, keeping up with Google type of thing, I guess. So it's Microsoft Ads now. But yeah, Bing Ads is still failing, I guess. Actually, yeah. A lot of people are saying, you know, since Bing is, it only takes up about 10% of the search engine market space, people are saying, well, what's the point? There's no point marketing here. And you know what? With everyone saying that, you can imagine how much potential you have to dominate that 10%, right? So I have campaigns here that are performing just as well as on Google. And I have campaigns here that are performing well that are not performing on Google.
Right.
So yes, it's definitely worth it. And if you have a Google Ads campaign, you're just one button away from literally importing everything from Google into Bing and having it automatically set up for you.
Oh, hang on. So if I have ads already set up and running on Google, I can just import those directly into Microsoft Ads.
Yeah. So they have that capability where you just import. You just log into your Google Ads account through Microsoft and voila, you have all your ads automatically placed.
Does that mean all the settings or all the terminology, it's all going to be exactly the same?
Yes. So there may be a thing or two that, you know, that there'll be an inconsistency in, and you will be let know what that is. So you can come in and adjust it. Like if a city or something, for example, isn't supported in Microsoft, it will let you know. And you can go in and then select a different city or select radius targeting, stuff like
that. Okay. All right.
But majority of it, yes, it will all be set and then set up for you.
Okay. You mentioned there that it might be easy for us to dominate, you know, that 10% of the people or that 10% of that advertising space if so many less people are using Bing. But with photographers and the photographer, the listener that you're talking to right now, is it a concern that the search traffic for our businesses is quite small anyway?
No, I don't think so. I think it's always worth a try, especially if you already have a Google account. It's not going to cost you anything to simply import the campaign and just give it a shot and see, because the way this works is just like with Google, you pay per click. So if you don't get any impressions and you don't get any clicks, then you don't pay anything for it, but it's worth a try.
Okay, sure. Do we actually pay for impressions or do we only pay for clicks?
Yeah, so you only pay for clicks here with Microsoft Ads.
And that's the same with Google AdWords?
Yes. Although with Google Ads, they do have different branches like YouTube ads or specific display ads and stuff like that. So for example, for some YouTube ads, you could pay per every 1,000 views, but that's not the case here with Microsoft.
Okay, so only paying per click. So like you said, it's worth a try for sure.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, I would expect, and I don't know if this is true, but I would expect it's going to be a lot cheaper to advertise on Bing because so much less traffic there. Is that right?
Yeah. So that's what a lot of people say. And I guess at some point that was the case, but that would depend on your niche. So for example, I promoted travel, make money online and skincare on both Google and Bing. And I've noticed that, or Microsoft, and I noticed that my cost per click were actually higher on Microsoft. That doesn't mean you still can't profit, right? Because you're targeting a completely different audience that searches in Bing rather than in Google, but it would depend on your niche. So sometimes the cost per click is actually higher in Microsoft. And I guess that also stems from the fact that more time has passed. And as more people are diving in and using Microsoft Ads, that drives the bids up as well.
Right. Okay. Is Bing getting you? I mean, I know you said 10%. Like, is that a true number or is that a true percentage?
That's a rough percentage based on some studies and data that was conducted. I think in 2018, they were saying that Google dominates 75% of the search. Engines like Yahoo, AOL, they dominate 15 or so. And Bing is around 10%.
Okay. Even though they're called Microsoft Ads, is it still the Bing platform or is all of Bing becoming Microsoft?
Yes. So you would still go to bing.com to do the actual searches. But you do have the option, though, when you run campaigns here, and actually this is something cool too. You have the option to not only target Bing, the Bing platform, but you can also reach out to AOL, Yahoo, and other search platforms. So basically, if you promote on Google and Microsoft Ads, you're promoting everywhere.
Okay. Is that because Microsoft owns all those other platforms?
Yeah, either that or their partners.
Right. Okay. We're not going to dive deep into like step-by-step instructions setting up ads like we did with the Google interview, because you have tutorials on exactly how to do that, don't you?
Yes, yes. I have a YouTube channel and I have a specific Google Ads and a Microsoft Ads playlist, which shows you how to do everything step-by-step.
Okay. What's the name of the YouTube channel so the listener can go there to find these tutorials?
Yeah, it's Online Marketing Essentials with Ivan Banner.
Okay. So I'll add links to those in the show notes and the specific tutorials as well. But in general terms, you said it's as simple as importing the same ads or ad settings as Google Ads. So are you saying then what we should all do first is advertise on Google first and then duplicate what we're doing on Microsoft Ads?
Yeah. So I think if you don't have too much time on your hands, like me, who's an affiliate, and that's all I do for a living is I run ads, I would put my priority on Google Ads for now. And then if you see some success, or you just want to try, maybe even if you're not seeing as much success on Google and you want to see if Microsoft Ads will be any better, you can just import the campaigns. But yes, I would probably suggest the first thing you should do is try Google Ads, just because of, there's just so many more impressions you'll get from there.
Okay, that makes sense. So if you're listening to this interview, don't go and try Microsoft Ads first, set up in Google, import those settings. When we go to import, is it as simple, you know, is it like setting up a Google account? Do we set up a Microsoft account and then go from there?
Yeah, so it's the exact same thing. If you've mastered Google Ads, especially their first editor, so they've done some updates and now their editor looks different. But if you were promoting on Google Ads, say a year ago, when their editor looked different, that editor looks exactly the same as Microsoft Ads editor right now. So if you're used to that, you will see pretty much no changes between the Microsoft Ads editor and Google interface.
Okay. All I need to do is go to bing.com and then sign up for an account, and then I can go to Microsoft Ads.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can even type this up on Google. So on Google, just type in create a Microsoft Ads account, or maybe even create a Bing Ads account, and you should be able to just follow the steps there and, yeah, create an account.
Perfect. Okay. Easy.
Yeah.
Let's go into some general like pay-per-click advertising things that we sort of didn't really talk about last time. One of the big questions that were coming up inside the members group following your interview last time was how much we should be spending or paying for these clicks. You know, is there a set value?
So that would depend really on your niche and on your market. So if you're seeing that you're just not getting enough impressions or enough clicks, you can definitely increase the cost per click. But that would also depend on the lifetime value of your customer. So how much is your lead worth to you? How much is every customer worth to you? So I have products where I pay 5 cents per click for, and I have products which I pay $1 per click for. And both of them are still profitable because they're not the same products. So I can profit as much from a 5 cent click as I would from a $1 click because of the different funnels and the different products that I have attached to them.
Okay. All right. So let's say I'm a wedding photographer and let's say my average spend from a client is, let's say it's $3,000. I still see, you know, photographers complaining that they're paying, say, $3 a click, but that could be super cheap if they're booking a $3,000 wedding. That's what you're saying.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's all about your funnel and how you follow up with your clients, whether you answer all their questions, whether you're there for support, basically the nurturing of the lead of the person that calls you first, right? Because they're not customers at first. They first call you and try to book an appointment and try to find out more about you. Or I don't know what your exact process is like. Maybe everyone's is different. But yeah, it's about how much each lead, each call is worth to you. So you would have to figure that out. Not even how much each sale is worth, but how much is each call or each email worth to you? And then you can do the math from there.
Okay. So let's say my average wedding photography package is $3,000, but I might take 10 phone calls to book one wedding.
Exactly.
Right. And then I've got to look at how many clicks I get on my ad to get 10 phone calls. Is that the math we're talking about?
Exactly. 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 Yes. Yes. So if it takes you, for example, 10 leads for one sale and each sale is $3,000, you would say, okay, well, each lead then is roughly $300. So if each lead is roughly $300, then all of a sudden, maybe you can afford $3 per click, because now as long as you get, or as long as you spend less than that $300 for each lead, you should be okay. You should be in the profit.
Okay. I guess that's more so for digital products, so that the photographer would have to look at how much they want to profit or what their profit is, mm-hmm. not how much they're charging. Okay.
Yeah.
Got
yeah,
it. Okay.
Of course.
All right. And that's going to then be on a sliding scale, depending whether you're shooting portraits or weddings or how much your average client's worth. Is there an easy way to measure or know that the person who clicked on my ad, my Microsoft ad or my Google ad, that they are the person that ended up booking me? How do I know that's the same person?
Yeah. So just like in Google Ads, there is conversion tracking with Microsoft Ads. So what you do is you basically install a Microsoft Ads conversion pixel onto your site. And that will be able to tell you, so for example, if you have an email submission form saying, you know, contact us, you can put the pixel on the page after that form. And so when someone fills that form and goes to the next page, the pixel will fire and you will see which exact keyword, which ad, which age group. Yes, there's even age group and demographics in Microsoft Ads, just like in Google, where you can see which one generated the conversions. And then you can optimize based on that information.
Okay. So is there a way, and I'm not trying to catch you out here, but I'm curious, is there a way that, let's say someone clicked on my Microsoft or my Google ad and they go to my website, they like what they see and they actually pick up their phone or they click the email link instead of using my contact form. Is there any way to measure that they came from Google or Microsoft ads?
Well, yeah. I mean, so in Microsoft with these pixels, you will see the conversions. You will see how many people called you or emailed you.
How can I do that?
I guess we're missing the mark.
Well, no. So I totally get it, like how Pixel works. If someone fills out my contact form, they click send and they go to a thank you page, then if they got to that thank you page, I know they've been pixeled and I can measure that was a true lead that's come from that ad.
Right.
But what if they don't go to my contact form? They just click on a link that sends me directly to their, you know, opens up their email platform and they send me an email, or they pick up their phone and call me. Is there any way to measure?
Well, there's still cold targeting and cold forwarding where Microsoft Ads will replace your phone number with their phone number. And so when someone calls the Microsoft Ads phone number, that will kind of work the same way as a conversion, as a pixel.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I think so. I guess what I'm concerned about, and I know the listener has this concern too, is someone sees my ad in one of the search engines, they click on it, they go to my website, and then there's no more interaction on the website. They grab their mobile phone or their cell phone and they call me. So I can't really measure that person. I don't know they've come from a pay-per-click advertising campaign.
So when you say you don't know, do you mean by looking at the Microsoft Ads platform?
Well, I know I've had the click. So let's say I get 10 phone calls in a week about wedding photography. The listener and I, we want to know, did that person originate from one of my ads or did I just show up in an SEO? Like, how do I know that? Is there any way to know for sure? I'm guessing there isn't.
Oh, I see.
That they came from an ad.
Yeah, no. You can't really tell. That would just be kind of a manual process. So you would just go into your Microsoft ads and then you would see how many conversions you get. So suppose you see two conversions, so then you know that the 2 out of 8 conversions came from the ads.
Right. Okay. All right. So all I can really measure then is that in this case, if they don't actually go through my contact form, is that they've actually, someone has, or so many people have clicked on my ad and gone to my website.
Yes. If there is no conversion, then you will just see the click and you won't really know what else that person did if they didn't call you or fill out the email form.
Okay, got it. Okay. So really what we need to do is make sure we have a website that's optimized as well. I mean, the website has to be producing leads for us to send, you know, paid traffic to the website. That's the right way to approach this, isn't it? I mean, so what I'm asking, I guess, is it's no use running pay-per-click ads unless we already have a website that is converting.
Yes, I would say so. That'll make it much easier. And actually, sometimes some of the clients that I work with, I suggest them to make a few changes to their website, because if you're promoting on Google or Microsoft Ads, you have to be pretty aggressive in terms of making yourself stand out. So you have to make sure that your ad copy matches your landing page, matches the keywords and all that. And there's the relevance between everything from the people searching in whatever they're looking for to actually landing on your page. You see?
Okay. I think I understand what you're saying. So what do you mean by be more aggressive?
So if you aren't running any ads at all and you just have a website trying to rank in SEO, sometimes you see headlines that are in the wrong place, or sometimes you don't see a call to action, and that's okay for you because, you know, you're getting free traffic, right? Mm-hmm. It's fine if people aren't clicking on your links or calling you. That's totally fine because well, it's free traffic. Again. Now, if you're running paid ads, you need to see some results. So you're paying to see specific results. So you have to make sure that, for example, one, your call to action is like on the very first part of the page, that people don't have to scroll down to see your call to action. You have words accompanying it, right? Like call now to book your free consultation or whatever it is. You have a clear headline which matches your ad. So you can't have a headline anymore that says just your name, for example, your name and photography. You would need to have a headline that matches your ad. So if you're doing, I don't know, wedding photography, and in your ad it says wedding photography, you have to make sure that wedding photography is the first thing people see on your landing page, not make them deduce based on your pictures or when they scroll down, but the very first thing people see has to be wedding photography. That's what's in your ad.
Okay, so we have that continuity.
Premium members of PhotoBiz Exposed hear more of the best photography business strategies from every guest.
So if I'm on your tutorials, do you have like step-by-step on how to do this, you know, in regards to Google Ads and Microsoft Ads?
Yeah. So I have tutorials where I start from the very beginning, from just creating your very first campaign. And you just watch behind my shoulder. I just share my screen with you and you see it all live as I create a campaign, create different ads, add keywords, create split test variations, all that stuff. So everything you need to get started.
Okay, perfect. I'm going to get the links for those exact tutorials to go with the show notes for today. And then, so you've got those same tutorials for Google and for Microsoft.
Yes, yes, exactly. And I keep updating and adding new stuff.
Perfect. Okay. Have a think about the future. Where do you see pay-per-click advertising going and Bing or Microsoft particularly? Is it going to overtake Google one day?
Honestly, I don't think so. Google is working hard to keep its place in the market. I can see that from all the updates, you know, daily updates, daily split testing. I mean, every time you log into Google Ads, every new time you log in, your interface will look a tiny bit different. I'm talking about the very top part of your interface when you log in. Mm-hmm. It looks a tad bit different every time you log in. And that's because they're just split testing.
Right.
You know, so they're okay. Constantly working towards, yeah, just like Facebook ads also, by the way. Facebook does the same thing. You know, constantly split testing and changing their layout just to test. Google's constantly rolling out with new updates, new changes. Bing does the same, but not as fast,
right,
from what I know. Definitely not as fast.
Okay. And do you see pay-per-click advertising, you know, being here for, you know, long term? Like, it's not going away, is it?
No. Yeah, I don't see a reason for it to go away. On the contrary, I think it's going to go up because of the shift to new technology. Like, people are more and more on their iPhones, on their computers at home and doing all that stuff. So I see an increase, actually, in the demand for this.
Okay. Do you see the cost coming down for us, the advertiser, or going up?
Going up, unfortunately.
Always going up.
Yeah.
So get in now.
Yeah, exactly.
Ivan, look, this has been great, mate. You've been fantastic again. And what the listener may not know, particularly if they're not a premium member, is just how helpful you were and have been inside the members' Facebook group. You got hammered with questions inside the group and you're an absolute champion, mate. You came back and answered and helped everyone. So thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
Mate, it's my pleasure too, mate. It really is. And this isn't something I know a lot about, so it's so good to have an expert on. I'll add links to anywhere and everywhere for the listener to go and chase up and learn more from you.
Thank you so much.
I talked a lot about your YouTube channel. Do you also have a blog or a website?
Yes. I have a blog where I match basically what my YouTube channel says, but it's amarketingessentials.com.
Fantastic. I'll add links to that as well.
Thank you. Awesome.
Ivan, again, mate, thank you so much. It's been a real pleasure.
Thank you, Andrew. Really nice having you being here.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Ivan Mana as much as I did. Ivan, if you're listening, thank you again, mate, for coming back, for even suggesting the idea of Bing and Microsoft ads. I didn't even know they were worth trialing, let alone how easy they are to set up if you already have a Google AdWords campaign. So again, mate, thank you so much. Really do appreciate you coming on to share everything that you did. For you, the listener, I hope you did get as much from Ivan as I did. Let me know if you have any inclination of implementing Microsoft ads into your business. Maybe you haven't even tried Google AdWords yet. And if you want more detail about them, make sure you check out that first interview I recorded with Ivan, episode 306 of the podcast, where there's a step-by-step tutorial. Anyway, hope you got a ton from Ivan today. If you want more information, if you want to learn more from Ivan, I've got links to anything and everything that he mentioned in the show notes for today's episode, and you can find them at photobizx.com/329. And if you are a premium member, Ivan is already part of the premium members Facebook group. So if you have any additional questions for him, then you can hit him up inside the members Facebook group. Make sure you tag Ivan, and I know he'll be happy to come back and answer your questions there.
It's shout out time.
I've got four big shout outs for today's episode. So a massive thanks to these photographers for taking the time to leave a rating and review, mostly in iTunes. But if you do leave a rating or review in another platform or on another platform like Stitcher, Overcast, even on the PhotoBizX Facebook page, make sure you let me know, because I would love to thank you with a link to your website using the keyword phrase that you're trying to rank for as anchor text. It's my little way to say thanks for taking the time to leave those ratings and reviews by helping you with your SEO. I'll add a link, just like I have for these photographers, in the show notes from the PhotoBizX website. So first up, big shout out goes to Jen Palmer, who is a South Jersey wedding photographer based in the United States. She said some lovely things about me and the podcast. She loved the fact that there's very little fluff. I'd argue that there's no fluff, but there's very little fluff here, she says, in the podcast. And she says that after 6 months of listening to the free version of the podcast, she decided to try the premium, and it's worth the small price multiple times over. So thanks so much, Jen. That is fantastic to hear. And it's great to have you part of the membership as well. The second big shout out goes to Geelong pet photographer, Steve Penman. I love your website, Steve, really do. Or Steven, I should say. That's the Aussie in me. As you know, I'm sure you get called Steve by everyone. Steve has some really nice words as well to say about the podcast. I love that he says there are endless podcasts out there covering business, marketing, and photography, but the only one that manages to pull them all together perfectly is PhotoBizX. That is just fantastic. Stephen goes on to say some other really nice things. So, mate, a massive thanks to you from me for taking the time to leave that review and for your lovely words as well, mate. Really do appreciate it. This iTunes review by Kate Thomas, who is a New Zealand-based horse photographer, is titled "It's a Ripper." I love that. I don't know if she's taken the mickey out of me or if that's a term in New Zealand as well. It's a ripper. But anyway, Kate, thank you so much. I love getting the updates from you that I do, how your business has been improving, is going from strength to strength with your new website, working with Mark Rossetto, getting the ideas that you have from the interviews that you hear on the podcast. It's wonderful to hear about the success that you're having. And Kate says in her review that she used to complain about Mondays, but now it is the best day of the week because it's podcast day. She goes on to say some other lovely things about the podcast and me. So Kate, thank you so much. Really do appreciate you taking the time to leave your review. And the last review for this episode today goes to Savannah Family Photographer, Katarina and Damien. I should say Savannah Family Photographers, Katarina and Damien from the United States of America. And they have left a review for the Photography Experiment podcast, which they've recently discovered. They're loving that too. And although the Photography Experiment podcast hasn't had a lot of love lately, I can say I have recorded an interview recently, which will be coming out to you soon. I'll be sure to let you know about that when it does happen. But the Photography Experiment podcast is a little deviation from the PhotoBizX podcast, where it's not solely focused on the business side of things. I try and get into the minds and heads of the photographer of the guest. And it also gives me a chance to try some different things, have on some different kinds of guests, uncover different kinds of topics, and just have a bit of a play at the same time. So look out for the upcoming episode on the Photography Experiment podcast. So again, a massive thanks to all four of you photographers for taking the time to leave those reviews. It really does mean a lot to me. So thank you so much. That is it for this episode of the podcast. I'm actually coming to you still from the apartment down at Terrigal. The insurance company has extended our stay again and again and again, but we are planning to be back at home, back to my usual studio, my usual setup later in the week. So I'm looking forward to that. Oh, and just before I go, a quick shout out to Nick Peters and his lovely wife, Anita. They were passing through Terrigal on the weekend on their way back home to Albury-Wodonga, down on the New South Wales-Victorian border. They swung by Terrigal, shot me a message, and I was able to catch up for a quick coffee. So, Nick, Anita, thanks so much for reaching out. It was great to catch up and have a quick chat, as short as it was. And for you, the listener, if you're ever passing by Terrigal or the Central Coast, let me know. If there's a chance to catch up for a drink, a coffee, or a quick chat, I'd be more than happy to do that. All right, have an amazing week. I'm planning to, once I have this dental appointment out of the way this afternoon, and I will talk to you soon. Bye for now.
If you have enjoyed this episode, head to photobizx.com. Join the conversation, leave a comment, and share your thoughts on the interview with Andrew and today's special guest.